Welcome out there on the internet. Welcome to you all. In the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, we worship in his name. And in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. We join now in the responsive invocation. Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord a new song.
Sing to the Lord. Praise his name. Proclaim his salvation day after day.
Declare his glory among nations, his marvelous deeds among all peoples.
Worship the Lord in the splendor of his holiness. Tremble before him, all the earth.
Let the heavens rejoice, let the earth be glad, let the sea resound in all that is in it.
For he comes to judge the world in righteousness and the peoples in his truth. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit, as it was in the beginning, is now, and will be forever. Amen. Let's bow our heads in prayer. Gracious Lord God, we gather today to reflect on the joy you sent to earth that first Christmas in the stable in Bethlehem. We thank you for your love. We praise you for your grace and mercy. And we pray that you would fill our hearts with the peace of forgiveness and the joy of knowing we will one day join you in our glorious home above. Use our children and the many trees of Christmas to present your wonderful story of salvation. In the name of the living Lord Jesus, amen. You may be seated.
It's the time of year when certain trees become very important. For many of us, it begins with spending time wandering through rows and rows of pine trees, until we find the one that's just right that we want to give center stage in our home. And whether you have a real or an artificial tree, you probably take great time and effort rearranging the furniture, untangling colored lights, hanging precious ornaments, and stringing glittery tinsel. What would Christmas be without a Christmas tree? It stands on display so proudly, giving off light and beauty. It provides a great place for us to set our wrapped Christmas gifts, and it serves as a shelter for our precious manger creche. Tonight we will learn about the trees of Christmas. We'll discover that the Christmas tree isn't the only tree of Christmas. There are other trees that show us that God cares for us. They all tell us about God's great love for us and his wonderful gift of life and salvation.
Thank you.
Let's begin our long journey with the promise foretold in the Garden of Eden where sin first took hold. There, a life-giving tree played a part in the scene, so let's turn our tree first to a life-giving green.
Trees play an important part in many of our favorite Bible stories.
Can you imagine how many trees Noah cut down to build the ark?
Make yourself an ark of cypress wood. Make rooms in it and coat it with pitch inside and out.
The key is climb the tree to see Jesus.
So Zacchaeus ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, since Jesus was coming that way.
Because Jesus helped in the carpenter's shop, he knew all about trees.
Isn't this the carpenter? Isn't this Mary's son?
And Jesus cursed the fig tree that wouldn't grow any figs.
Jesus said to the fig tree, "May you never bear fruit again."
Cedar tree,
willow tree,
almond tree,
apple tree,
chestnut tree,
fig tree.
But two trees become important right at the beginning of the Bible. They are the trees God placed in the Garden of Eden.
In the middle of the garden were the tree of life and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
The first tree was the tree of life.
One tree was a good tree from which Adam and Eve were to eat and enjoy. It was named the tree of life. As long as Adam and Eve ate from this tree, they would live forever.
The second tree was the tree of the knowledge of good and evil.
The other tree was a dreadful tree called the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. If Adam or Eve ate from this tree, they would bring death on themselves. But that's the tree they wanted, and with the bite of its fruit came God's curse and God's promise.
And I will put enmity between you and the woman, and between your offspring and hers. He will crush your head, and you will strike his heel.
With the first sin came the first promise of a Savior. The one God promised here was the same one who was born in Bethlehem. And so God sent Adam and Eve out of the lovely garden for a very good reason.
Man must not be allowed to reach out his hand and take also from the tree of life and eat and live forever.
But that's not the last time the Bible speaks about the tree of life. In the book of Revelation, God said we will see this same tree in heaven.
To him who overcomes, I will give the right to eat from the tree of life, which is in the paradise of God.
We've joined in seeing the green.
And that promise continued for many a year, as the Lord still assured them salvation was near. Down from father to son, the word remained true. We remember it now with the color of blue.
Do you keep a family tree? Do you know who your ancestors are? Some families keep very detailed family trees. These trees show us our grandparents, great-grandparents, and even our great-great-great-grandparents. Some families have famous people in their family tree. Others can trace their family tree to other countries. The Bible lists Jesus' family tree twice.
The book of Matthew starts by saying,
a record of genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham.
The book of Luke also tells us,
now Jesus himself was about 30 years old when he began his ministry. He was the son, so it was thought, of Joseph.
As this family tree flowed through the years, God's promise of a Savior was kept alive.
God promised Abraham that the blessing of Jesus would come from him.
And all the peoples on earth will be blessed through you.
When Jacob, Abraham's grandson, was about to die, he told his son, Judah, that Jesus would come from his family.
The scepter will not depart from Judah, nor the ruler's staff from between his feet, until he comes to whom it belongs.
God told David, also from the line of Abraham,
one of your descendants I will place on your throne.
This line in Abraham's family tree continued right up to the birth of Jesus.
As we learn from Matthew 1, and Jacob, the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary, and whom was born Jesus, who is called Christ.
Well, the time finally came for the promise to show, as the branch of God's tree was now ready to grow. In a dark, lonely stall on that first Christmas night, God sent us his own son to give the world light.
What would it be like if God only gave us one kind of tree to look at? Not very interesting, I imagine. Instead, God gave us a variety of beautiful and fascinating trees. The oak tree stands tall and broad. The pine tree doesn't have any leaves. The palm tree has only a single tall trunk. The willow tree has such long branches that they droop down to the ground. The red mangrove tree looks like all its roots are above the ground. And the bonsai tree is just a tiny tree you grow in a pot. Some trees have fruits. Some have nuts. Some have seeds that fall to the ground, while others are heavy with cones. Did you know Jesus was once called a tree branch? Several times in the Old Testament, the picture is painted of Jesus sprouting from the stem of David.
Zechariah wrote about Jesus, the branch.
Tell them this is what the Lord Almighty says. Here is the man whose name is the branch. He will be clothed with majesty and will sit and rule on his throne. A shoot will come up from the stump of Jesse. From his roots, a branch will bear fruit.
Jeremiah wrote about Jesus, the branch.
I will make a righteous branch sprout from David's line.
Jesus was the promised branch who was born in Bethlehem on that first Christmas night so long ago. We would like the congregation to join the choir in singing Behold, a Branch is Growing, hymn 47 in the Red Songbook.
Reading from Luke chapter 2, the actual account of our Savior's birth. In those days, Caesar Augustus issued a decree that a census should be taken of the entire Roman world. This was the first census that took place while Quirinius was governor of Syria, and everyone went to his own town to register. So Joseph also went up from the town of Nazareth in Galilee to Judea, to Bethlehem, the town of David, because he belonged to the house and line of David. He went there to register with Mary, who was pledged to be married to him and was expecting a child. While they were there, the time came for the baby to be born, and she gave birth to her firstborn, a son. She wrapped him in cloths and placed him in a manger because there was no room for them in the inn. And there were shepherds living out in the fields nearby, keeping watch over their flocks at night. An angel of the Lord appeared to them, and the glory of the Lord shone around them, and they were terrified. But the angel said to them, "Do not be afraid. I bring you good news of great joy that will be for all the people. Today, in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you. He is Christ the Lord. This will be a sign to you. You will find a baby wrapped in cloths and lying in a manger." Suddenly, a great company of the heavenly host appeared with the angel, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace to men on whom his favor rests." When the angels had left them and gone into heaven, the shepherds said to one another, "Let's go to Bethlehem and see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." So they hurried off and found Mary and Joseph and the baby who was lying in the manger. When they had seen him, they spread the word concerning what had been told them about this child, and all who heard it were amazed at what the shepherds said to them. But Mary treasured up all these things and pondered them in her heart. The shepherds returned, glorifying and praising God for all the things they had heard and seen, which were just as they had been told.
Another appears. It is carved as a cross and is covered with tears. They're wanting to cover the sins we all dread. God gave us a cloak in the color of red.
But Jesus' work on the earth only began on Christmas Day. 33 years later, another tree would play an important part in the life of Jesus. This tree had been stripped of its beautiful leaves. The branches were all torn away, and all that was left was the rough beam of wood. It was on this tree that the loving Son of God would be crucified and die. Jesus would be nailed to this tree to suffer and die for all of us.
Paul wrote about this tree when he said,
Christ redeemed us from the curse of the law by becoming a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone who is hung on a tree.
Paul wrote to the Philippians and said,
and being found in appearance as a man, he humbled himself and became obedient to death, even death on a cross.
In Hebrews we find,
let us fix our eyes on Jesus, the author and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy set before him endured the cross, scorning its shame, and sat down at the right hand of the throne of God.
And Peter made it very clear when he wrote,
"He himself bore our sins in his body on the tree, so that we might die to sins and live for righteousness. By his wounds you have been healed."
It was on this tree that Jesus finished his work of redemption. Standing in front of this tree, we discovered what Christmas is all about. It's about God's love. It's about our Savior Jesus. It's about washing our sins away. And it's about getting heaven ready for us, the home of that beautiful tree of life.
And oh, he did not cry.
Let's rise and go to our Lord in prayer. And we bow our heads. Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, tonight is Christmas Eve. Again, we come to the question, how could you, God, how would you even have tender thoughts for such rebellious people that fill this whole planet and all of our history? We have given you, the only God, every reason to walk away from us. You have every right to throw us away from yourself forever. And yet, instead, again we are awed by your unbelievable mercies. This is the evening right before it all happened. Lord and Savior, it was your gracious plan to rescue us. It was your gracious promise that announced your plan. And it was your gracious power that kept your promise, infinitely detailed, wondrously executed, and flawless in every way. We can't do other than what the angels did as they glorified you to those shepherds outside of Bethlehem. And we can't do but what the shepherds did, telling everyone about what we have seen and heard, a Savior for the whole world. Thanks and praise be to you. Please, dear Jesus, on this night especially, our thoughts go to those missionaries that we send out in your name and their families. We send them out to the world with this good news. Please, bless your word that they speak so that more and more will hear and believe in you. And dear Savior, you sought us out. You brought us into your kingdom, and you bid us to care for one another, to bring our requests to you continually. And therefore, we ask for your kindnesses to be shown again. The Rutz family has asked for your kindness to be shown to Justin. And the Ryan family has asked your kindness to be shown to Jackie. Thank you also for watching over Tom Bilski during his recent surgery. Continue, please, your care for Pat Rozelle and Julie Bunt and Pastor Hartman. Give them the strength and the patience needed for their healing. We ask for your tender care to be shown again to Sandy Garley's family at the passing of her brother, and to James Follett's family at the passing of his dad. And also, please continue to show your special kindnesses to Dr. Miller, to Al Brahm, to Dee Meyer, and to all others on whom various burdens of life have been laid. Lord God, you delight in showing mercy and kindness as you care for the members of your family of faith. Please, let us be known as your children in the same way our Heavenly Father is known, by how we speak and how we behave toward one another. Let us be known by our family and friends as people who love to be kind, as people who are eager to show mercy. And we ask this, knowing that you will hear and answer us, because we ask in the name of God Almighty, who wrapped himself up in baby blankets to begin his final plan to redeem all people. And in his name we now pray that perfect prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen. You may be seated.
And now that we've told you of trees long ago that have taught us the story we all love and know, we will light up our tree with a glad Christmas cheer and we'll carry that glow throughout the new year.
There's still one tree we haven't talked about. Do you know which tree that is? It's our Christmas tree. We see it in our homes and in our church. But where did the tradition of the Christmas tree come from, and what does it mean for us? Small candles, glass balls, tinsel, and the Star of Bethlehem were often used to decorate the tree. Some feel the Christmas tree came from another tree called the Paradise Tree, on which apples were hung. Regardless of its history, the Christmas tree still holds much symbolism for us today.
The green of the Christmas tree reminds us of the life Jesus gave to me.
The shape of the Christmas tree points my eyes to heaven, where I will one day be with Jesus.
The tree itself reminds me of the tree in the Garden of Eden, where sin began and where God promised us Jesus.
The lights on the Christmas tree remind me that Jesus is the light of the world.
The tinsel on the Christmas tree reflects the love of Jesus.
The ornaments on the Christmas tree remind me of many, many blessings God has given me.
The gifts under the Christmas tree remind me of the best gift God gave me in the Bethlehem stable.
The wood of the Christmas tree reminds me of the Calvary tree.
The Christmas tree gives us a place to gather at Christmas time to hear the story of God's wonderful love.
It's now my privilege.
The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord make his face shine on you and be gracious to you. The Lord look on you with his favor and give you peace. Amen. Before the final song, I would like to say a few special thanks. Thanks to Shelley and Amanda and Sally for coordinating all of the children, and thank you to the children and the narrators for doing a wonderful way of sharing God's word with us this evening. Also, thank you to the various choirs, including the Timmerman family. Thank you to the instrumentalists who use their skills to help us worship our God. Thank you to the trumpets and the violins and the piano playing before our church. It's all just wonderful. And we especially take this time to say thank you to God for keeping his promise. The reason I'm saying this right now is because after the song is being sung by the last choir up there, after the Timmerman family sing their song, and after we sing, I will not be in here to officially greet you. Mr. Timmerman will be saying some words to you, because I'm going to be having a special children's devotion with the children in the back room, and we didn't want to have it up here with all the hubbub going on, and we want to make sure that you have yourself a blessed Christmas. And you on the internet, bless you, and the Lord bless you with a rich kindness of his love. In Jesus, amen.
Sich nur zur Sommerzeit, nein, auch im Winter, wenn es scheint. O Tannenbaum, o Tannenbaum, wie treu sind deine Blätter. Here, but also when it is cold and drear.
We'll see if we're still on. Merry Christmas. And welcome to all of you and to our internet viewers as well. And thank you for joining us this evening. What a beautiful and wonderful way to focus our attention on the coming of our Savior here at Christmas time than to hear the word from the children. Parents, loved ones, please make sure on your way out to give them an extra special hug and thank them again for blessing us with that message this evening. Just a reminder to everyone that Christmas Day services will be held 9 o'clock tomorrow, and we'd love to see you here. Hope that you all get home safe and enjoy a wonderful evening with your families. On behalf of the entire council and the family here at Good Shepherd, thanks for joining us this evening. Take a look around, wish each other a Merry Christmas, and have a wonderful and God-blessed evening. And kids, I see a bag of treats on your way out. Please grab one and enjoy it. Thank you, and have a God-blessed evening. Bye-bye.